Radio Free Redoubt begins in 5, 4, 3, 2...
Well, good morning, God-fearing, liberty-loving, and national Christian nationalist patriots. This is the Morning Commute with JJS and Lady Liberty, coming at you from Patriot-held territory. Good morning, everybody, and good morning, Lady Liberty.
Well, good morning to you, and good morning, everyone out there. Welcome to Monochromatic Monday, where the truth of God is black and white.
Yes, and the truth is God has his hand over Israel.
That's for sure. Boy, isn't that the truth?
Yeah, that's not over yet either. We've got updates there. Right now, there's kind of a lull. Amron is holding at AMCON 2. We're expecting things to kick off. The whole world, the United Nothing, is calling for restraint. Of course, you know, they didn't call for restraint against Iran when their attack was imminent.
Right, exactly.
The calls for restraint is against Israel after they've been attacked with over 300 missiles and drones.
That's right. Yeah. And we've got a clip that covers that after the break that we can't wait to get to, of course. And,
yeah.
Well, you know, some of the interesting data that was shared in the media is described as: a spokesperson for the Israel Defense Forces said earlier Sunday that 99% of the 300 threats of various types Iran launched at Israel, including 120 ballistic missiles and more than 30 cruise missiles, were intercepted by Israel's air defense system and Israeli Air Force fighter jets, as well as aerial defense systems and aircraft of our partners. At least 9 Iranian missiles breached Israel's air defenses and struck 2 of Israel's air bases, but no significant damage was reported, a senior U.S. official told ABC News. And then 5 ballistic missiles hit the Nevatim air base, damaging a C-130 transport aircraft, an unused runway, and empty storage facilities. And 4 additional ballistic missiles hit the Negev air base, but there were no reports of significant damage there either.
Yep.
And so,
yeah, wow. Between the David Sling, the Iron Dome, the first time they had the Iron Beam. Laser
yep.
system online, and then, of course,
Arrow 2 and 3,
and then all of the allied aircraft, United States, the UAE, Jordan, Saudi Arabia, they were shooting down drones as well. So
that's right.
Apparently, none of those even made it to Israeli airspace.
Right. And it says, it shows here this video that members of the Israel Defense Forces earlier on Sunday removed the fuselage of an Iranian EMAD medium-range ballistic missile from the Sea of Galilee after it was shot down during Saturday night's attack. Boy, that thing is huge. It looks like just the fuselage alone is twice the length of like what you would see in a standard truck today. That's just the fuselage.
Yeah.
Twice the length
yes.
of a standard truck today.
That's right.
And so, wow.
It's like a 2 or 3 foot diameter steel pipe falling out of the sky, you know,
yep.
20 feet long.
Yep. No yeah. kidding.
Lucky nobody was hurt just from that. But, well, God has had, he had his hand on Israel right now. And the enemies of Israel are coming out of the woodwork right now.
Yep.
Even in our own government. And, you know, I hate to say it, but even in the Christian patriot community, I've seen some of these comments from people saying, we should not get another dime to Ukraine and not another dime to Iran. I mean, Israel. Why are we giving money to Israel who goes out and, you know, starts wars? I'm like, oh my gosh, are you people actually drinking that Kool-Aid?
Right.
That Israel is out starting wars?
Right.
You know, there would be total peace in the Middle East if people would just stop attacking Israel.
Exactly.
Israel is not going around attacking people
nope.
except for in retaliation. And besides that, what nation on earth would put up with years on end of being shot at with rockets, missiles, artillery, not to mention, not even talking about October 7th, where the full-on invasion where they're abducting your people and raping and committing all kinds of war crimes and terrorism, but just firing conventional rockets and artillery into your country for years.
Yep, that's right.
And then they respond, oh, let's use restraint now. Let's not overreact. God bless Netanyahu.
No kidding.
Carry on. Yep. Carry on and wipe those people out. Every time they fire a rocket, annihilate the whole area where that rocket came from. And of course, these guys are the most precision responses. And even in Gaza, the civilian to military combatant ratio death is like 1-to-1. It's like the lowest of any in the history of warfare.
Right.
The number, usually it's 9, even according to the United Nothings statistics, most wars average about 9 civilians killed per combatant killed. And with Israel, it's like the lowest in modern warfare history or in world history. And they're getting, oh, you're killing women and children. You're killing, of course, you know, we see pictures of the children. You know, they all have 6 fingers, you know, 7 toes, all this AI-generated
garbage.
Pictures it's of refugees.
Pure deception.
Yep.
Well, and see, that is that point right there that you just made is why Congress needs a UN expert that knows how to deal with and has a track record of beating them in their ridiculous communist-based programs.
Absolutely.
Because here they are. They're in everything. They're in everything, primarily in the United States, but they also have everything to say against our allies as well.
Right.
And so, you know, in my opinion, why does Congress not have strictly UN experts? You know, I mean, seriously, if you've got to know your enemy and know where the source of all of these problems are coming from, and you don't know that, and you're in Congress, how are you going to be effective?
You can't. You obviously you can't. And you know, the last thing we need to do is be sending somebody to Congress that was a city councilman or something. You know, I mean,
somebody that has no fight, that's used to a federal cushy job.
Right.
You know,
exactly. Climbing the ladder in the political career, who's sitting there, you know, squabbling over buying new electric bikes for your city or you know.
Yeah, electric vehicles. Supporting electric vehicle usage. Right. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Wow. We're just in so much trouble. We got to get some patriots in there. That's for sure. But anyway, we've got a lot of stuff to cover. Let's get to the word of the day, you know, a little earlier than usual here. But there's a lot going on. We're going to keep our eyes on Israel. Remember to pray for Israel and pray for the Republic, the United States. We have our own issues. There's no reason why we couldn't help support Israel and seal our border.
That's right. Exactly.
President Trump could do that.
Well, especially when Trader Johnson is now looking at going ahead and pushing through another $60 billion for Ukraine and in a flagrant traitorous fashion, in addition to what he already did with the ridiculous $1.7 trillion budget he was willing to pass for all the Democrats.
You know, I saw him respond, and he said that he attended some classified briefings, which he encourages all of Congress to do, and he learned some things he didn't know before, and that's why he changed his tune on funding to Ukraine. Okay, I can imagine maybe the rationale of keeping Russia off of Israel's back and out of the Middle East by keeping them tied up with Ukraine. I could see, okay, maybe that's a strategic move. I haven't heard anybody say that, but I'm just guessing. Why would somebody who's supposedly a Christian patriot do an about face and fund, approve funding for Ukraine? The only thing that I can think of is that this is keeping Russia pinned down by being embroiled in Ukraine. It's keeping them out of coming down and helping Iran, which they've threatened to do if the U.S. strikes Iran, keeping them out of Israel.
Right.
Because they do have some limited troops down in Syria, Russia does. Maybe they would be more willing to be more committed to that if they weren't embroiled in all of these assets with Ukraine. That could be a reason. However, let's say that is the reason that not using that funding as leverage to seal the border is completely unacceptable.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. I don't care what kind of compelling reasons that you may have learned in a classified briefing to make you want to give money to Ukraine. You do not ignore our own border. Period.
That's right. Yep.
Exactly. Period.
He's essentially breaking the law.
It's treasonous. It's treasonous to ignore and not even put up a fight to seal our border.
Yep.
Unacceptable.
Every single day that border is open, every single one of them is committing crimes.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah. So I don't know. Well, cling to the Lord. I'll tell you that.
And praise God that we have that because, the way everything is, it's no surprise that the world is completely upended right now. I mean, all the communists are in charge and it just looks like the Lord is lifting his hand a little bit more at a time each week in preparation to preparing the world for the Great Tribulation.
Oh, yeah.
And so, exactly. We're going to go back to the Word because he is our saving grace and our King. So,
absolutely.
So the Word of the day for Monochromatic Monday comes to us from Isaiah chapter 42, verses 5 through 25, that reads, "Thus says God the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread forth the earth and that which comes from it, who gives breath to the people on it and spirit to those who walk on it. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness and will hold your hand. I will keep you and give you as a covenant to the people, as a light to the Gentiles, to open blind eyes, to bring out prisoners from the prison, those who sit in darkness from the prison house. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory I will not give to another, nor my praise to carved images. Behold, the former things have come to pass, and new things I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Sing to the Lord a new song, and his praise from the ends of the earth. You who go down to the sea and all that is in it, you coastlands and you inhabitants of them, let the wilderness and its cities lift up their voice. The villages that Kedar inhabits, let the inhabitants of Selah sing. Let them shout from the top of the mountains. Let them give glory to the Lord and declare his praises in the coastlands. The Lord shall go forth like a mighty man. He shall stir up his zeal like a man of war. He shall cry out, yes, shout aloud. He shall prevail against his enemies. I have held my peace a long time. I have been still and restrained myself. Now I will cry like a woman in labor. I will pant and gasp at once. I will lay waste the mountains and hills and dry up all their vegetation. I will make the rivers coastlands, and I will dry up the pools. I will bring the blind by a way they did not know. I will lead them in paths they have not known. I will make darkness light before them and crooked places straight. Those things I will do for them and not forsake them. They shall be turned back. They shall be greatly ashamed who trust in carved images, who say to the molded images, you are our gods. Hear, you deaf, and look, you blind, that you may see. Who is blind but my servant, or deaf as my messenger whom I send? Who is blind as he who is perfect, and blind as the Lord's servant? Seeing many things, but you do not observe, opening the ears, but he does not hear. The Lord is well pleased for his righteousness' sake. He will exalt the law and make it honorable. But this is a people robbed and plundered. All of them are snared in holes, and they are hidden in prison houses. They are for prey, and no one delivers, for plunder, and no one asks, restore. Who among you will give ear to this? Who will listen and hear for the time to come? Who gave Jacob for plunder and Israel to the robbers? Was it not the Lord? He against whom we have sinned? For they would not walk in his ways, nor were they obedient to his law. Therefore he has poured on him the fury of his anger and the strength of battle. It has set him on fire all around, yet he did not know, and it burned him, yet he did not take it to heart. And that's it.
Wow.
Well, now what's fascinating here is the description yet again of this is what happens to people that do not keep his ways and walk in his law. And that's what I just read from was from the New King James Version.
Yeah.
But in my other Bible, that is the King James Version, the old King James Version,
mm-hmm.
It describes in verse 21, it says, "The Lord is well pleased for his righteousness' sake. He will magnify the law and make it honorable."
Oh.
And that's that right there is the perfect description of what happened in the Sermon on the Mount, in the Beatitudes.
Yes.
Where Jesus upped the ante to the law. He did not wipe out the law. He like it says in the King James Version, he will magnify the
yes.
law and make it honorable. So in the New King James Version, it says he will exalt the law and make it honorable, but this version says magnify the law. And I think magnify is probably the best word we've heard for what the Sermon
yes.
on the Mount actually does with the Ten Commandments. It magnifies it into a bigger picture, including all of your thoughts, and places the law on your thinking patterns as well.
Right, and this is the caution that we have. I mean, this applied to us, but also that we would put out to other Christians who are quick to fire from the hip and say, we're not under the law. And Paul addressed this as well, that the law is not done away with. Christ said, I'm not here to do away with the law. I'm here to fulfill the law. Paul said, does this mean that you can go and live however you want, and the law doesn't apply, God forbid,
right?
Basically. So what's happened is this doctrine of we're not under the law is like, we're free to do whatever we want and live however we want.
Right.
When I this is a great scripture to kind of pull us back and look and say, he came to magnify
the law.
And the Sermon on the Mount is the perfect example of that, because he goes for the heart.
Yep.
It's okay not to, it's a sin to commit adultery. Okay, I don't commit adultery. I just think about it all the time. Well, then you're committing adultery.
Exactly.
That's magnifying
yep.
the law. That what he said is totally the opposite of what some people have got in their minds about the law doesn't even matter anymore.
Right, that
because
we're
not
grace,
under the law.
That saying that grace has replaced our requirement to
right.
follow the law.
Right.
When Jesus not only followed the law himself, but he continued and upped the ante and magnified the law to have it include our thought patterns as well.
And he put that in the right context too.
Yep.
Because the old law or the old law covenant, sacrificing animals and going to the temple and all that kind of stuff was part of the law. I mean, that was the old covenant. Now we have a new covenant. And that's where people go, oh, we're not under the law. Right. So we can do whatever we want. No. That's not what it means.
Right.
And right here, in the Sermon on the Mount, Christ himself pretty much cleared all that up. Paul came along behind him and added further clarification. We still struggle with it
right.
in the church.
And so, here's kind of the flip side of that, because we know that Satan is a supernatural deceiver of the
right.
highest order. He is the father of lies. And so if he can get people to believe that they no longer have to follow the law or no longer have to be magnified by the law when Jesus upped the ante, if he can get people to believe that you're all good, once you're saved, and that's all you really need to think about. That's very problematic, because all the way to the end of the Bible, the end of Revelation describes that Jesus says that we are to keep his law and walk in his ways. And so...
And how many examples have we seen throughout the Bible where Satan himself uses God's own words
yes,
and twists them
to, yep.
to lure people away
yep.
from his plans for them, for his will for them, from his word to them. And so when, you know, when you look at a scripture and say, oh, this doesn't apply to me anymore, that's a contradiction of so many other parts of the Bible.
Yep.
You have to stop and say, okay, there's a contradiction here.
And,
so,
and first of all, probably the single scariest verse in the entire Bible is when Jesus says, depart from me, you workers of lawlessness.
Yeah.
I never knew you.
Right.
And that right there, I mean, could be applied to that whole false teaching of you don't have to follow the law. We're under grace. And, you know, so therefore, you know, do as you will, right?
Yeah.
Because that single statement I just made right there is very much akin to what this grace teaching is you don't have to follow the law. We're not under the law. And there's a satanic Bible that only has one commandment. And that commandment says exactly what I just said. Do as you will.
Right.
And so if Satan knows that that's the only commandment humanity needs to follow, that we're going to be in utter destruction in absolutely no time. And so,
right.
So if he's also twisting that one commandment in his Bible, in the satanic Bible, of do as you will, to instead say, you're no longer under the law. You're saved by grace,
right?
You don't have to follow the law. You don't have to, you know, I mean, it's the same snake tongue saying the same thing. When Jesus is saying, I didn't come to abolish the law, you know, heaven forbid. And and instead, like Isaiah 42:21 says, he will magnify the law and make it honorable.
Right.
So that's a something that's extremely important. I would hate for people to feel like, you know, like the law no longer applies to them, and to be shocked when they hear that Jesus says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments.
Right.
Right? Because those two are not compatible. You don't have to keep the law, and if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Those are not compatible in the same sentence.
That's right. That's right.
So
they're not compatible in the same faith.
Yeah, exactly.
And somebody's walk. If you're in those two lines, if you're, you know, hanging your faith on those two lines that are in conflict with each other,
right?
You need to find a way to reconcile that.
That's right.
You know, and really quickly, because we're running out of time.
For sure.
So yeah, man. But that's this is a good one.
I praise God for this random turning, because that is extremely important verse. That chapter 42, verse 21 is extremely important.
Right. Yeah. We're under grace in that
we're saved at all.
He offered a way out.
Yep, exactly.
If you will repent, if you will follow his commands and
walk in his ways.
Love him and love your fellow brother and love him with all your heart, then the grace comes in. Okay, you're in.
Yep.
That's the grace, because otherwise you're so filthy. Even the most righteous person is filthy rags to him.
Yep.
And so, you know, I don't know of anybody that's like the most righteous person. So that makes that, if they, or those who do exist are filthy rags, what does that make me?
Exactly.
You know, so I'm that much more thankful for his grace.
Right.
Grateful, thankful for him. Just amazing. So I want to please him. I want to honor him.
Right.
I want to follow his commands. I want to learn more about what that means, and I want to please him. And that's not works, not to be confused with works.
And yet, works is an example of your faith.
Well,
it's
a manifestation of your faith.
Right.
If you have faith and it's real, you will do works.
That's
those
right.
You don't do works to get saved or to get in the kingdom. But if you're in the kingdom and have the Holy Spirit and have salvation,
you can't help it.
You'll want to help other people.
That's
right.
You know,
if you don't have works, then there's no engine driving.
Right. There's something. Yeah.
You.
Something
there's
wrong.
There's no faith there.
Yep.
You know. So anyway.
Well, and exactly, if we are to walk in his ways and keep his commandments and do them like he says, that is exactly an example of works.
Yeah. Now, of course, you know, we're way off from the actual scripture that we read, Isaiah 43.
But it all ties together.
But it triggered it. It like kicked it off. You know, it was like it was like the bullet that fired us into this conversation.
Yep.
Right. So
yep. Well, this is extremely important, especially after Saturday and our Bible study and listening to multiple different sermons where, you know, it's it can be frighteningly misleading if you believe that, you know, you don't have to walk in his ways. Yes. Or keep his commandments. It's we would hate to have any of our listeners get to the end of their life and find out they completely missed the boat.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
So, you know,
and especially the when you're in the position to influence somebody and you don't use that opportunity to influence them toward steering
good.
Them back toward him.
That's right.
And his word and his commandments, his law.
Right.
You know, with the message of grace tied into it.
Right.
You just go straight. It's all grace. It's an empty suit. It's the works without faith.
Well, when in doubt, just read what Jesus's words say, you know, the red letter sentences in the Bible, read exactly his words, because those are his words and there's nobody that's going to corrupt his words.
That's right.
You know, and so when he is saying everything that we just described, you can't possibly ignore that.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. For sure. Wow. Cool. Okay. Thank you for that. Okay. So this was Isaiah 40.
Isaiah chapter 42. Verses 5 through 25, with special emphasis on verse 21.
There we go. Got it. All right. Well, cool. Thank you for that.
Praise God.
Yes, absolutely. All right. We'll be back with segment 2 right after this. Nice long stretch for segment 1. And great discussion again. So this segment was brought to you by JesusAppears.com, helping you to get rapture ready. It's coming down to the wire, and one day it's just going to snap. It's going to happen, and we want you to be prepared for it. So go to JesusAppears.com, learn more about what that means, and stick around. We'll be back with segment 2 right after this.
Are you prepared to defend yourself in the dark? A weapon light helps you identify and even deter threats in low light. But it can be difficult to find a secure and comfortable holster. At Works, we design and build holsters for Glock and Sig Sauer pistols with lights. Our precision fit holsters will help you carry with confidence so you're ready to defend yourself day and night. Go to worksholsters.com. Find your gun and light in our holster finder. Select your preferred carry style and order your holster today.
I'm Renee Holiday. I'm announcing my candidacy for Congress for District 5 in Eastern Washington as a strong conservative Christian MAGA Republican. We are currently in an existential crisis in America because of weak leadership who have failed to place God first over this nation. They have also failed to keep their oaths of office to uphold and defend the Constitution and the rights of the individual. They have failed to secure our elections and have opened our border to an invasion from over 172 countries. America has never been more vulnerable to attack than we are now. I'm running because Eastern Washington needs a rep with some spine that can stand up to this lawless regime and help bring America back under the safety of our Constitution by securing our elections and closing our border. I have already written the congressional bill to do just that and have been publicly pushing it for the past year. Eastern Washington needs a fighter with a record of being effective in fighting the globalists, and that fighter is me. I have been fighting the globalists for 18 straight years and have written 2 books about it. Eastern Washington needs an effective fighter in D.C., and that fighter is me, Renee Holiday. I need your vote on August 6th, but I need your support right now to kick off my campaign. I'm running to win and to take America back, and I can only do this with your support. Let's get it done together. So you can go to my campaign website at ReneeHolidayForCongress.com. It's spelled ReneeHoladay for Congress.com.
This ad paid for by the Committee to Elect Renee Holiday, Washington Congressional District 5. Welcome back, Patriots, to segment two of the Morning Commute with JJS and Lady Liberty. And segment two brought to you by Prepping 2.0, helping to take your preps to the next level. That's prepping2-0.com. Lady Liberty, segment two. Quite a week we're off to a start too.
That's for sure. Oh my gosh, this weekend was crazy. Everyone, welcome back to Monochromatic Monday. And well, let's kick it off in a different part of the world rather than Israel. Here we've got, you can hear in the background, you can hear all of these different motorcycle riders. It says here that 10,000 bikers took over Paris to protest against new government regulations.
Right.
And so, well, you know, is that really any wonder, considering the fact that, you know, we're watching, like we've described on this show quite extensively, the blueprint of the communist takeover happening through all the fraudulent elections,
yep.
Right? And here's the example of each of the nations that we've watched have happen in the past couple of years. It says here, as an American, does Joe Biden represent your views? No.
No.
As a Brazilian, does Lula da Silva represent your views? No.
No.
As a as a French man or woman, does Emmanuel Macron represent your views? No.
No.
As a Canadian, does Justin Trudeau represent your views? No.
Take off, eh?
As a... As
no way, eh?
Take off, eh? As a Brit, does Rishi Sunak represent your views?
No.
No. As a Dutch man or woman, does Mark Rutte represent your views? Heck no.
No.
And so the list goes on and on. And so here we have all of these nations' people saying,
yes,
this leader is not us.
Yes.
And the same thing that we're saying here in the USA.
That's right.
Biden is not us.
That's right.
He doesn't represent us. Him and all of his UN stooges in Congress, in the DOD, in the Department of Justice, all over across America, none of those people are us.
That's right. Those people that are in those positions hate us.
Yes.
They hate the people.
Yep. The people of France. Look at what Macron has done to the people of France with all of allowing that whole entire Muslim invasion.
Right.
That's insane. And we've seen this happen across all of these places. And we were just watching a video of all of these quote unquote immigrants that are actually invaders, aggressive,
yes,
violent invaders, all military age, trying their hardest to breach the fence in Poland.
Right.
Trying to weasel their way in. And that is not how immigrants behave.
That's exactly what we said when they overran the National Guard 3 weeks ago, in Eagle Pass. We're like, wow, does that look familiar or what?
Exactly.
It's like a textbook script that they look the same. They act the same. They use the same methods, the same tactics. This is not how immigrants act. This is not how somebody acts who wants to come to another country to flee oppression or whatever. These
That's
are
right.
aggressive. They're almost all military-aged males.
Yep. Aggressive invaders.
Yes. And they're funded by the United Nothing. They're funded by this regime and the deep state.
Right.
And all these other non-government organizations, some of them even wear, under Christian banners.
Case in point, again, Congress needing a UN expert. Hello, it's me.
Exactly.
I know how to fight and get rid of those people.
That's right.
So, let me just keep pointing that out, because this is exactly what this nation is facing. One assault after another from the United Nations.
Right.
They are a communist-based organization that wants one world governance.
Yes.
And so, oh boy, speaking of the UN,
one dead Israeli.
Yes. Well, as
two go ahead.
We've got a clip here, but of course, you know, we'll start it off the right way.
Oh, yeah.
This clip here describing how Israel has no possible reason to defend itself and how they should behave according to the UN communists. And so go ahead and listen now.
Restraint.
Right.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
Five little sheep jumping the fence. Six little sheep jumping the fence. Oh, I love this. Seven little sheep jumping the fence. Eight little sheep jumping the fence. Oh, this is wonderful. Nine sheep jumping the fence.
The Middle East is on the brink. The people of the region are confronting a real danger of a devastating full-scale conflict. Now is the time to defuse and de-escalate. Now is the time for maximum restraint. I remind all member states that the Charter of the United Nations prohibits the use of force against the territorial integrity or political independence of any state or in any other manner inconsistent with the purposes of the United Nations. Furthermore, the principle of inviolability of diplomatic and consular premises and personnel must be respected in all cases, in accordance with international law, as I stated when condemning the 1 April attack on the Iranian consulate in Damascus. Acts of reprisal involving the use of force are barred under international law.
Now, how many times did he say international law?
Right.
And of course, he starts off with, now is the time for great restraint, immense restraint, however you say it, restraint.
After the fact.
Right. First, Iran is claiming we're going to wipe you off the face of the earth. We're coming for you. We're going to destroy you. We're going to attack you. Oh, that wasn't the time for restraint.
No.
After they fire hundreds of missiles, rockets, and drones toward Israel, Now's the time for restraint. Everybody just hold on. We don't want to. And firing on a consulate, that is Bravo Sierra.
Yep.
Because it was adjacent to the Iranian embassy doesn't make it a non-legitimate target. This was the headquarters for military planning for all of these attacks by Iranian proxies against Israel, where these generals and top military commanders, Iranians, were using this structure as a cover, calling it a diplomatic mission, calling it a consulate, using that as cover to plan and execute terrorist and conventional attacks, rocket attacks against Israel.
Right.
That is a legitimate target. They took it out. They didn't start the war.
Right.
And this is the Kool-Aid. They even got some patriots drinking, saying that Israel's starting the war.
Right.
How long do you have to keep getting punched before you punch back?
Exactly. And when you punch back, you have every right. You have every right.
Absolutely.
To defend. Nobody has any right to tell another nation how they are able to defend themselves.
Right.
Nobody does. That is that nation's sovereign ability to do whatever is within their capability.
And they also need to keep in mind, all of these military commanders and planners at this command center, essentially, they belong to a government, Iran, who vows regularly, continuously, and for decades, death to America, death to Israel.
That's right. Here's a stunning revelation about that as well. It says here that Iran informed Turkey in advance of its planned operation against Israel, a Turkish diplomatic source told Reuters on Sunday, adding that the U.S. conveyed to Iran via Ankara that its operation must be within certain limits, quote unquote.
Only 300 missiles?
Yeah. And so here we've got the United States okaying Iran's attack on Israel, just so long as it's within certain limits. And that is a statement according to the Jerusalem Post. And so here we've got Iran going through Turkey and exposing this whole thing that the U.S. said, it's okay.
Remember when I said last week there was intelligence leaked that Iran is working through it? At first, I thought it was Qatar, but maybe it was Ankara, Turkey, where they were saying, okay, we have to save face by responding somehow. So basically, we're going to play this little slap game. Okay, we're going to throw some missiles at you. You can shoot them down, and then we'll call it good, right? So we can save face, but we won't really hurt you back, so we don't escalate things. I don't know how much truth there is in that, but it certainly seems possible.
That's right.
If not plausible. But if essentially that's kind of what we've seen so far. We've seen their attack was, you know, as if that was part of the plan all along. But I don't know. I do know that the attacks by Hamas are real. The attacks by Hezbollah are real attacks. I mean, they're really trying to kill, and they are killing Israelis.
Right.
You cannot put up with that. You can't tolerate that.
Nope.
You have to respond. You have to go after the people that are saying that they're going to kill. You know, you've got means, motive, and opportunity. They've got the means. They obviously have the motive. They've expressed it many times. And they've had several opportunities because they've taken advantage of those opportunities. They've done it. They've committed the crime. Now, it's time for you to go after them and stop them.
That's right. Well, in fact, we've got an excellent clip here with Fox News Sunday and Senator Kennedy, the Republican Congress senator from Louisiana. And oh my gosh, Kennedy, some of his statements are absolutely priceless.
Yeah.
Listen to what he has to say.
I predict that if it comes back to the Senate, the big issue on those bills will not be Ukraine. The big issue will be Israel, because it is clear that President Biden is being influenced by the Hamas wing of the Democratic Party.
Well, to that point, you've got Senator Sanders there, one of your colleagues, who says in a piece in the Boston Globe this week, he said, not another nickel to Netanyahu. He says, does America want to be on the side of history of standing with people who are child killers and creating starvation? I mean, those are his words. He seems determined to block anything going to Israel. Mm-hmm.
Yes. And in the past 60 days, we have seen President Biden go wobbly in his support of Israel. And today, the White House has already leaked to the press early this morning that they're not going to participate in an Israeli response to what Iran just did. Let me say it again. More sheep is not going to solve the wolf problem. My advice to the president today, for what it's worth, Mr. President, don't. Stop it. Support Israel. With respect, go to Amazon and buy a spine online.
That's awesome.
That's just flat out awesome.
Buy a spine online using Amazon Prime.
Buy a spine online.
2 days.
And the other part, that more sheep is not going to solve the wolf problem.
Oh, exactly.
That's glorious.
Yeah, liberals, these guys are not even liberals. They're way beyond that. But, I mean, liberals have never understood that. You know, Reagan got that. Trump got that. And I think it was brilliant. One of the most brilliant things I've heard this week was that Biden is being influenced by the Hamas wing of the Democrat Party.
That's right.
I mean, how much more?
That was the perfect statement that Kennedy made there.
Brilliant.
Yep.
It was brilliant.
Yep.
Brilliantly simple and poignant and straight to the point. So monochromatically truthful.
Yep, that's right.
Yeah.
Well, and knowing such a thing, that's treasonous. And it's, you know, there you go, flying in the face of Article 4, Section 4. Again, they're illegal as all get out.
Well, the other statement, too, Bernie Sanders saying, you know, how long are we going to, do we want to be on the side of history of supporting the killing of children and starving people? You mean like all the billions of dollars we've given to Hamas?
Yeah, exactly.
The Palestinians,
yep,
who have butchered and raped and dismembered and burned alive and drowned and stabbed and killed all these people. That's just October 7th. all of these men, women, and children, right, and starving their own people, committing war crimes, crimes against humanity, by using men, women, and children as human shields.
That's right.
While they launch rockets from mosques, from hospitals, and from kindergartens, the same kindergartens full of Nazi literature, curriculum, and anti-Semitic, hateful, kill all the Jews teaching of these children, you know, from, well, since they're old enough to hold an AK-47 magazine.
That's right.
Or a Claymore clacker. And the people, it's Hamas that's shooting the civilians for going near the aid that's being delivered to the refugees there.
Right.
The tons of food and medical supplies that Hamas, that the IDF has found in the Hamas tunnels with UN stickers all over it, that they've taken from the people. It's the Hamas people that are starving people.
Right.
They're the ones that are responsible for all the deaths. It all belongs to Hamas.
Right. Well, and here's a great little piece of news to find out, you know, considering all of the craziness with Russia thinking that they're going to dive in and own Israel as well now.
Right.
You know, it's nice to see that the Argentine government is reportedly holding an emergency meeting, and they did this Sunday night to discuss the tense situation in the Middle East. And we already know that Javier Milei has been over.
He's a friend of Israel.
Over there with Israel and has put their embassy in Jerusalem as well.
Right.
And so I can't wait till they get into the mix to actually start supporting Israel, where we should be right along with them.
Well, we are living in the end times. We do know that the God himself is going to put a hook in the jaw of Gog, the leader of Magog, Russia, and pull them down and bring them against Israel, or he's going to wipe him out.
Right.
And so, I mean, we're seeing the stage set for that. So, hey, Russia, do whatever you think you got to do. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And it's just not going to work out very good for you. And really, this was already written in advance, so you're hosed.
Everybody's hosed. Everybody that is invited by God down to Israel is going there for a party that they're never going to walk
come
away
home from.
That's right.
It's going to be a hangover you'll never recover from.
That's for sure.
Sheesh. Woof. But, just another reason to praise our God, who is sovereign over all of this, and he's already defeated the world.
That's right. He's already won, and he has a book written all about it.
That's right. That's right. So in this bonus second half hour, we've got another statement from an IDF spokesman. Was this a PR press release?
Yes. This clip is from the Sky News talking with IDF spokesperson Rear Admiral Daniel Hagari. And so listen to his summary of the events that he had there.
Iran's unprecedented attack was met with an unprecedented defense. This was the first time that such a coalition worked together against the threat of Iran and its proxies in the Middle East. Even while under attack from Iran, we have not lost sight, not for one moment, of our critical mission in Gaza, to rescue our hostages from the hands of Iran's proxies, Hamas, of our moral duty to do everything in our power to bring 133 hostages back home. Hamas recently rejected the hostage release proposal offered to them by the mediators. Hamas and Iran want to ignite the Middle East and to escalate the region. We are still on high alert and assessing the situation. Over the last few hours, we approved operational plans for both offensive and defensive action. We will continue to protect the state of Israel, and together with our partners, we will continue to build a more secure and stable future for the entire Middle East.
There you go. And I'm reading between the lines. We don't need the White House's permission.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yep.
Or the world's leaders' permission to defend ourselves.
That's right. We prayed for Netanyahu to have courage and spine in his resolve to not capitulate to anybody else and them thinking they can tell Israel what to do, and he hasn't.
It was so uplifting to see on our Amir Sarfati's channel the photographs of church congregations and Bible study groups, groups of Christians around the world sending pictures of their groups with the Israeli flags and lifting up prayer. I'll tell you what, one of the things I'm convinced of is that one of the reasons for Israel's incredible success in thwarting the largest missile and drone attack ever in the history of warfare, without a single casualty inside Israel, is because of the prayers of the saints going up to heaven on Israel's behalf.
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely, yep. Convinced that we prayed for Israel during those hours this weekend. We know you guys did Saturday night, Saturday afternoon. And thank you guys. And so, and I know the Israelis were very, especially the Christians in Israel, were extremely grateful. This is not over. You just heard this, Rear Admiral announced plans are in place for defensive and offensive measures. So we're going to stay, very vigilant right now, high alert, and we'll see how this week plays out. It's going to be very interesting.
Right, and we might just also reiterate the fact that because Biden has been allowing Iran to do this, that I doubt we have anything to worry about with Iran striking the U.S. like everybody was anticipating, because here it turns out Biden's given them the thumbs up. So, right. Oh boy, what do you do about that?
Who wants Biden on their team? Sheesh. That's a way to just make everything not work out right.
No kidding.
But anyway, well, keep your eyes on Israel for sure. It's the apple of God's eye.
That's right.
And so anyway, just be safe out there. Be vigilant. And join us tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. for the morning commute right here.
That's right. You all have a marvelous monochromatic Monday, and blessings to all of you Christian patriots out there.